We'll do it live. Okay. Fucking thing. No. We'll do it live. Fuck.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 140 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by everyone's favorite Disney princess, Brian. Brian, how are you today, my friend?
I'll tell you, I'm revved up. I think this is going to be a great show. I'm all up for it.
All right, very good. I mean, should we just get right into it?
I'm a little parched.
Oh, well, then it's time for Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week.
Nazdrovia.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Sláinte.
Who's?
Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week. Brian, what did you bring to the table for your Drink of the Week?
I have got Virginia Beer Company's Liquid Escape.
Ooh, fancy. What kind of beer is that?
It's, I would describe this as bright, refreshing, perfect for any escape. It's the perfect companion because it adds lemongrass and a subtle touch of Australian sea salt.
All right.
I would describe this as a kettle-soured ale.
It sounds tasty. Give it
it's
a
coming
sip.
In at 4.4%, which you and I both know is not enough.
All right, let's see what you got here. Well,
summer beer.
Summer beer. All right,
this is a summer beer.
It's freezing out. I don't know about where you are, but very cold where I am. Big wind chill. So I brewed myself a cup of coffee, and I mixed in a shot of the. The cold brew Jameson whiskey that my good friend Brian had bought me. And I also got a shot of Bailey's in there and a little bit of cream. So let's see here. Oh, well, that is tasty to bring Brian back in here. So
do you drink your coffee? And I feel there is a level of arrogance coming from you, because here I am drinking a lowly 4.4% sour ale, which is it's disappointing, and there you are with your adult beverage coffee to hype up your brain, knowing that we have a pajama party coming up at 9:30 tonight for our Patreons.
I mean, but again, it's got the whiskey and the Baileys. I do, yes. Billy's asking if I can taste the cold brew whiskey. Yes, I can taste the whiskey. I can taste the Baileys. I mean, it's pretty darn good.
That's a beautiful, beautiful thing, my friend. Now, I have a question. Is that going to hold you up for the entire show?
I think it should hold me up. I mean, we'll see. I may leave you momentarily to get another drink, but we'll see. I know that just panicked you. Oh, you're doing a little shot. Hit it up. What are you shooting tonight?
Crown Royal. Oh, this past week, most of America was enthralled by the championship round football games, I obtained for myself a collectible version bottle, Crown Royal. That's right. No velvet bag. I'm not about that shit. What am I about? The faux football bag,
something like that.
I don't know. But I learned recently that I enjoy Crown Royal. I hadn't had it in a very long time. Completely forgot about it. It was not on my radar. And then I was looking at one of these very fine quality American made shot glasses with the Ron and Brian podcast logo, which you can obtain if you go to our online store. Go to the website. Ron, you want to put the link up below whenever you have an opportunity.
It is ronandbrianpodcast.com. You can go there. You can also go to our Facebook page. We now have our store up and running on the Facebook page as well. So that'll link you to the web store. Also to our Teespring store, where you can even get like a sweet Ron and Brian hoodie like I'm wearing this week. That's right. The official Ron and Brian zip up hoodie. But in the meantime, Brian, we've got racism.
This week
in
racism. So much racism, Brian.
Oh, no.
I know. We will start in Florida, of all places. Lehigh Acres, to be exact. Gina Brashear made the news this week due to a video of her confronting two black men unloading sheet metal from a truck. The customer that Will Osley and Melvin Finley were delivering to captured video of Brashear as she said the N-word six times within 30 seconds, also making statements like, if you think I'm going to have an N-word, tell me he's not moving from my driveway, and I can use the N-word all goddamn motherfucking day. When contacted by a local news station, Brashear commented that it isn't illegal to use the word and that she has reasons to be racist. A Lee County Sheriff's deputy responded to the scene, but no charges were filed. Brashear was arrested for aggravated stalking back in 2013 and recently called Donald Trump a coward on her Facebook page for not defending those who stormed the Capitol. Her Facebook account also contains multiple images of the Confederate flag and statements indicating support for the January 6th Capitol riot. Nice.
All right. So what you're basically saying is that she is one of the, she's one of the patriots that are fighting to make America great again.
Hashtag Patriot Party. Yes.
Yes. Very good. Very good.
All right. A man has been fined almost $10 million by the Federal Communications Commission for making thousands of racist and threatening robocalls. Scott Rhodes, a 51-year-old Idaho native living in Montana, placed calls to phones in at least eight states after pre-recording vitriolic messages. The alleged Nazi sympathizer and white supremacist targeted black and Jewish politicians, a journalist, and members of an Iowa community grieving a murder. He also attempted to influence the jury in a murder case against a white supremacist in Charlottesville, Virginia. Rhodes made 4,959 unlawful spoofed robocalls between May and December of 2018, the FCC determined, and a finding issued on January 14th. The FCC found Rhodes was, quote, motivated by a belief that these actions would result in media notoriety and accordingly would enable him to increase publicity for his website and personal brand. An initial $12.9 million fine was reduced to $9.9 million. Rhodes has been given 30 days to pay. If he does not, the FCC said it could refer this case to the Department of Justice.
Couple questions here. First off, do we know what his website is?
We do not. No, I can go back and see if I can find that out.
Second of all, I'm a little offended here because you said that he targeted leaders in the black and Jewish communities. Now, I did not receive a call. And I think we both know that I am one of the leaders of the black community.
I think, you know, maybe he misspelled your name, perhaps. I mean, maybe it was, you know, there was that time you changed your phone number. I don't know. I apologize.
Yeah, I that's quite possible. but I how do you misspell my name?
I don't know. So anyway, jumping out to the West Coast, this is Portland, Oregon. A man caught on video threatening to kill a Muslim gas station worker has been charged with bias crimes. 43-year-old Brian Christopher Miller faces multiple counts of first-degree and second-degree bias crimes for threatening a Muslim man originally from Pakistan working at a Chevron gas station in southeast Portland. Miller has been also charged with burglary, disorderly conduct, criminal mischief, criminal trespass, robbery, and theft. Video showed him saying to the gas station worker, quote, is that how we do things in America, Afghan? Al-Qaeda? Osama? You scared? I'll grab that fucking camera right out of your fucking hand, dude. I don't like cameras. Miller then suggested the victim upload the footage to YouTube, which is where the video was later found, and said, quote, tell them what America has done with you unholy immigrants, and close by saying, and I'll fucking shoot you in the back.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, you got to give the guy a little bit of credit. He really worked his way up, and there was like a huge crescendo at the end.
Yes. I mean, he started low and took it up and really, you know, hit the high note at the end.
You start off with the hate. You start off with the ignorance because, I mean, let's face it. Osama bin Laden is literally 20 years ago.
Right.
20 years ago, literally. cool. I said literally 20 years ago without actually doing the math in my head. But to literally start working your way through the different taunts and then build up to, I will shoot you in the back. Like, he's not even saying, I will shoot you right here. I'm going to wait for you to turn around and then I will shoot you. What state was this again?
That was Oregon, Portland.
Okay.
All right. This is out in Westlake Village, California. Target has apologized after three black teenagers were detained at one of their stores after a grand theft investigation. The teenagers identified as 17-year-old Malik Aaron, 16-year-olds Gregory Kim and Aaron Fredrickson claimed that they were victims of racial profiling by Target staff and Los Angeles County deputies. The teens were walking home after church on January 17th. When they decided to stop at Target to purchase snacks. However, a shoplifting incident occurred while they were in the store, which included a theft suspect breaking through the glass in the electronics section to steal several smartphones. Upon reaching the exit, the teens found that it was blocked off with shopping carts. They attempted to exit the store, but Target security staff refused to let them leave while other customers exited without complications, said one of the teens. Three deputies from the Lost Hill Station of the L.A. County Sheriff's Department later arrived and detained all three at Target's storefront. One of the teenagers said he tried to record the event on his phone, but was stopped by a deputy, which is illegal, by the way. The teenagers were released when it was determined they had not been involved in the theft. The company also noted that all leaders at the Westlake Village store will be required to retake mandatory security and racial bias training. Target also reached out to the teenagers to offer a personal apology.
Mistakes were made.
Teachable moment.
But it's a teachable moment.
Teachable moment.
And, you know, and I think that after this additional training, I do believe that we will be able to rehabilitate the management of this store.
All right, let's hope. Shooting over to Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Listen, whoa.
Yeah.
Don't say shooting over to... You can't. Not in This Week in Racism. Right,
Well, anyway, we're talking about the far right's favorite alleged teenage murderer, Kyle Rittenhouse. His bond conditions have been amended to bar the 18-year-old from drinking or associating with known white supremacists and other bigots. Rittenhouse is currently out on $2 million bail, having been charged with the fatal shooting of 26-year-old Anthony Huber and 36-year-old Joseph Rosenbaum and the wounding of another person during the protests in Kenosha against the police shooting of Jacob Blake last summer. Prosecutors filed a motion requesting his bail conditions be tightened after surveillance video showed him out at a bar in Wisconsin on January 5th, drinking and reportedly flashing the OK white power hand sign. Rittenhouse's mother accompanied him to the bar, which made it legal for him to drink, even though he is under 21. However, now he is outright prohibited from drinking alcohol, having any weapons, and associating with known white supremacists.
Fuck him.
Pretty much.
No, and fuck him.
Lastly, in Louisville, Kentucky, grand jurors in the case of Breonna Taylor continue to speak out about the way Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron handled the proceedings. A number of the jurors have come out to challenge Cameron's initial description of the guidance prosecutors gave them regarding what charges could be laid against the cops involved in Taylor's killing. And now three of those jurors have filed a petition to the Kentucky House of Representatives outright accusing Cameron of lying to them and the public and asking him to be impeached as a consequence. As you know, none of the officers involved in the killing of Breonna Taylor were charged with murder. The jurors who filed for Cameron's impeachment say that in their petition, quote, neither Cameron nor anyone from his office mentioned any homicide offense to the grand jury. Not only were there no homicide offenses presented as alleged, no charges of any kind were presented to the grand jury other than the three wanton endangerment charges against Detective Hankinson. It is unlikely that the Republican-led House in Kentucky will indict Cameron, but it does shed light on what many consider a lack of justice in this case.
Wow. I somehow missed that story in the Google Doc.
Where the hell were you?
I was in other sections. I was loading up the Patreon.
Oh.
I was loading up the sexy stories we will be talking about in a little bit over an hour. If you are not one of our Patreon subscribers, you have about 75 minutes to get in. Yes, the link is right there on our website. It doesn't cost a lot. It costs basically what you are willing to open up your wallet. We know times are tough. These are unprecedented and challenging times. For as little as $5 a month, you can get exclusive to our Patreon access audio to our After Dark, which is when we bring sexy back. Is that the term that we agreed to use?
At the very least, it's what
we're doing. At the very least. We also have a bronze tier at $10, a silver at $25. There, you know, if you're interested, you could join our gold level, platinum, diamond. They, you know, there's exclusive benefits to each one, and it's a way to sit there and say thank you for entertaining us, and we love our Patreon subscribers. Yeah. So what we do once a month on the final Thursday of every month, except when Ron wants to reschedule, is we open the floor. We send out the link to all of our Patreon subscribers at the bronze level or higher. Correct. At the bronze level or higher. And you come on the show. You know, we fill up the screen. It is a fun time. We call it the pajama party. I know I'm going to put my pajamas on, except I'll be keeping this shirt on because what was the one thing we discovered last month?
You don't like a deep V.
I do not like this area of skin exposed. If I could put this up here, I would. So we've got the After Dark Pajama Party coming up at 9:30 tonight live. If you're not a subscriber, go to patreon.com. Okay. Ron and Brian, blah, blah, blah. Go to our website and click the link. For a couple bucks, you have a lot of exclusive content. You can go through the archive from many years ago. That we've been doing this. This is episode 140. So hundreds of hours up there. I don't know if hundreds is really the right word. Anywho, Ron, it's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. What's also beautiful? It's Beef of the Week time.
Mm.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
You know, you know me. I support corporate America.
Oh yeah,
I support the international conglomerates. I support the people who are charging hundreds of dollars for products that they are paying our employees pennies on the dollar to make. But unfortunately, this week, one company has crossed the line. They have made an enemy of me.
Me?
Apple. Ooh. Apple.
All right.
And I'm a shareholder of Apple. I own 3.4 shares.
There you go.
But last Saturday, January 23rd, I placed an order for an iPod Air. Didn't want the Pro. It's a little intimidating, a little too big. Can't really carry it around. Very difficult when you drop it on your nuts. Hurts. It's too big, too heavy.
Right.
Didn't want the Air. I didn't want the Mini. It's too small. Makes me feel like my hands are too big. I don't like it. So I went with the regular size iPod Air. Ordered it on January 23rd. In today's age of retail stores, in today's age of Amazon, same day delivery. Ron, take a guess. When do you think Apple is predicting my iPad, when will that be delivered?
I was going to say, when you said you were getting an iPod, I assumed it'd be delivered in 2007. Your iPad, I would say maybe this Saturday. You know, if you said the 23rd, right?
Ordered on the 23rd.
Oh, yeah. So Saturday would be a week. I would think that would be a perfectly reasonable amount of time for you to get that in.
February 9th.
Well, that's...
What the fuck?
That feels unacceptable to me.
Isn't it? Why would this thing take over 2 weeks for them to ship and deliver? They've got thousands of these in fucking factories. There are Chinese workers right now leaping to their deaths off the factory roof because they're being pressured to build iPads at speeds that are inconceivable to the human mind. And they're going to make me wait 2.5 weeks. Keep in mind, I've already paid for it. They have my money.
And you're a shareholder, I hear.
3.4 shares.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Brian. Hopefully it'll get there sooner rather than later.
I hope so.
So can I tell you my beef, Brian?
Hey, Ron, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Can you tell me your beef?
Oh, yeah. So as longtime listeners know, I did the Invisalign treatment last year and finished that up, I want to say, in the fall. And so I...
And you were very happy with it.
Very happy with it. So I had a voicemail from my orthodontist probably in late November with a voicemail saying, hey, can you call... Like your insurance apparently has switched over and whatnot. And so I wasn't really sure why they were calling because, you know, they had already taken the final payment and I changed dental insurance, whatever. So every time I tried to call them, one of three things would happen is no one would answer. They would answer and put me on hold for an indeterminate amount of time, or the person I would need to speak to wouldn't be available. They apparently don't have voicemail, so I'd have to leave like a written message. And I would never get a return phone call.
Now, sorry to interrupt. Your orthodontist, that's in Jakarta?
It is in Northeast Philly. So it's not
okay.
So I try a few times, don't hear anything back. I'm like, well, I mean, if they're not that anxious to get back to me, it must not be a big deal.
Sure.
So I get a letter in the mail.
A letter?
Past weekend saying, Mr. Bailey, I've been unsuccessful in trying to reach you by phone to discuss your account. So anyway, apparently they needed to put the last payment through on my insurance plan. And since my wife changed jobs, we were on different insurance. So again, tried a couple times this week, same thing. Finally got a hold of this person. And she was like, well, I've been trying to get a hold of you for a while. And I was like, well, I'm trying to get a hold of you for longer. She's like, oh. Yeah. And apparently they don't even have intercom. She's like, well, you know, I work on the opposite side of the building. So if I get a phone call, the receptionist has to run across the building and let me know I have a call.
It's not like, your fucking problem.
I'm sorry. Is this 2007 where we're still using iPods? No, this is 2021 where we have phone systems where you can talk to each other. So anyway, that, my friend, is my beef of the week.
Oh, Ron. Okay, so quick. I said iPod, whatever.
Real quick, we don't have a game this weekend, but to follow up from last week, Brian, again, kudos. You decided to go with the NFC Championship game. You were like, you know, I understand Green Bay's favored by 3. I am not going to bet against terrific Tom Brady in a championship game. You took Tampa Bay. They ended up winning 31-26. For Tom Brady's 10th Super Bowl appearance in next weekend. So kudos to you to completing yet again another perfect season.
Now, I would like to take credit. I'd like to pat myself on the back. I'd like to sit there and say, Brian, you finally done it, you son of a bitch. But I cannot. Only because if I look quickly to my left, there you are standing right next to me. Also having a perfect season. Last week, you sat there and said, Buffalo Bills have no business being in a conference championship game. They're outclassed. They're outmanned. Patrick Mahomes coming back. He still may have turf toe, but we don't care. I believe you said at the time, I will burn Buffalo down if it's the last thing I can do. Chiefs were laying 3. You scoffed at it and said that you'd be willing to give twice that. Chiefs winning 38-24. Ron, how does it feel to be perfect?
I mean, it's humbling, I think is the best way to put it.
Okay. I can relate, but the difference that I feel between our picks this football season was I believe I took a lot of favorites. I felt I went with a lot of sure things. You know, I didn't really take a lot of chances. And one of the things that humbled me week in, week out throughout this 2020-21 season was the risks that you took on. I mean, there were times where you were taking underdogs who were getting more than a touchdown. And without shedding any level of sweat or whatnot, you sat there and said, I'm taking the points. I don't even need the points. I'm going to win this game all out. And then that actually wound up happening. Really impressive.
Listen, I will take your accolades, but I don't want to downplay what you did because I think in unprecedented times such as these, there was no such thing as a sure thing each and every week except for you. So next week, we will have prop bets for the Super Bowl. We will bet on the big game. Do you have any, you lean in either way for the game at this point? So right now, Kansas City is favored by 3.
I choose not to expose my leanings.
All right. I will say, I don't know which way I'm going to wager yet, but I...
Now, you said the same thing when we were at a bar up in college. I believe it was a gay bar, and I said to you, hey, you know, what do you think we're going to do? And you were like, well, I don't know which way to go.
But I find myself in the surprising position of somewhat rooting for Tom Brady.
Is that because it's the underdog? Is that because you're racist? And is that because you hate ketchup? Is that because you don't believe in Kansas City style barbecue?
I think, where it comes from for me is, you know, the knocks for Tom Brady was that he was a system quarterback. You know, he wouldn't have been good any place else. Like, he was a guy that regardless of how many Super Bowls he won, how much success he had, people kind of downplayed him. And, you know, he literally went into a completely different conference, completely different team, and first year took the team to the Super Bowl. So I think just that's impressive. And I think if he wins, unfortunately, I think it probably does cement him as the greatest quarterback of all times.
And you want all of that to happen?
I don't.
See, I'm taking the opposite approach.
That's my challenge. Like, you almost are like, all right, you can almost empathize with him to a point, and then you remember what a horrible individual he is, and you kind of walk away from that.
Wasn't he MAGA?
That's what people say. It is what
fuck him. Fuck him.
So, speaking of horrible, unfortunately, we are bringing a segment back this week. The sponsor of the week, we were doing this last year for a while. Brian had a very poor success rate. I believe you signed up the UConn football team the same week they canceled their season due to COVID.
Teachable moment.
2020 campaign and the check bounced. You had the Proud Boys.
Teachable moment.
You accidentally signed up. And we kind of nixed it. But now with this 50-50 partnership that we once again have, you brought it to the table. And technically, I can't vote you down. So I will preemptively apologize to the listeners, but I will be hopeful that, again, you mentioned teachable moment. I will be hopeful that you learn from your sponsorship failures in 2020 and are bringing a good, ethical, solid sponsor to the table this week. So, Brian, the floor is yours.
Ron, you're going to be proud of me.
I hope I am.
Because I've shot big and it didn't happen. I've shot down. It didn't happen. This time, I have got a sponsor that you will be proud of.
All right.
It ties into something that we've talked about last week. Last week, you brought back Ron and Brian's Angry Money.
Yes.
This week.
Hold on.
Do I hear an echo?
Should remind people of the song?
Do you want to? Yeah, I think so.
Stonks.
Oh, we lost Brian there. I'm not quite sure where he went. So hopefully he will join back. Where'd you go, my friend?
Just to clear my throat. Sorry about that.
Fair enough. All right. So anyway, yes, we did do our stock pick last week. So yes. Talk to me.
I'm going to give you two words.
Okay.
Robinhood Financial.
Ooh.
Robinhood is democratizing finance for all. You can feel safe investing with Robinhood as we take every conceivable step to ensure your hard-earned funds are protected in a responsible manner. Are you afraid to jump into the market because of the current market volatility?
Brian.
Well, at Robinhood, we believe the financial system should be built to work for everyone. That's why we create products that let you start investing at your own pace on your terms.
I hate to have to mute you like this. So Brian, unfortunately, Robinhood had some issues today after cutting off their investors from being able to sell GameStop, AMC, BlackBerry, some of these stocks that were being sold by the Reddit board and Wall Street Bets. So they are now the defendant in a few class action suits. I know the New York Attorney General is looking into it. And also Congress is going to be having hearings over some of what transpired today.
So, I don't understand. I brought to the table a upstart, a financial company. Last week we said 2021 was going to be the year of Ron and Brian Stonks.
So let me ask you.
Didn't we not agree earlier on the show whenever the word stonk was mentioned?
Stonks.
So the biggest question, Brian, did the check clear?
Yes. No. We got 10 free trades.
Oh.
With Robinhood. I thought that was worth quite a bit.
All right, we have to go back to the drawing board on your negotiations. But yes, as you mentioned last week, we did do our foyer into the stock market. Little did we expect the shit show that Wall Street would become in the past week. Should we go into the GameStop saga briefly? Because I know people know that something's going on with the GameStop stock. They're not 100% sure what is in play there. So I can do a quick run.
Can I ask the question that was asked of me earlier today by my father?
Please do.
What's going on Wall Street with the games?
All right. Perfect. So anyway, GameStop, purveyor of fine video games in your local mall next to the food court, apparently had a bunch of hedge funds that were short selling their stock. So short selling, plain and simple. You can, if you are a hedge fund or an individual, you can short sell a stock even if you don't own it. Basically, what you do is you enter into a contract with someone that holds these stocks. You borrow the stocks from that person. You then sell the stock at whatever the price is at that point. You are assuming the price is going to go down. When the price goes down, you buy the stock back. You give it back to the person that owned the stock initially, and then you keep the difference between the two prices a profit. And then the person that you're borrowing the stock from gets an interest rate or a fee of some sort for lending you that stock.
How is this legal?
It's something that is, it's a legal.
But legal. How is it legal? If I go to the bank and say, I don't have any money, but at some point down the line, I'm going to have money.
It's, you know, it's one of the many questions that are being asked about Wall Street. But the main problem with short selling is if the stock goes up and the person that you borrowed those stocks from wants it back, you know, you have to sell those stocks when you take them. So when they ask for them back, you then need to buy them at the price they are at that point. So if it is higher, you're going to lose money. So what happened was, is there is a on Reddit, there is a board called Wall Street Bets, a group of investors of varying experience and bank accounts and what have you. They noticed that GameStop was shorted 132%, which why you can short.
How is that possible?
Again, this is what our financial laws are in this country, where you can apparently short sell more stocks than are actually available of the company that you're shorting.
Question.
Yes.
At any point, would I have been allowed to short sell Pacific Drilling?
Yes. In fact, that would have been the move to make at one point, would have been to short sell it prior to it going bankrupt. And people probably did make money, because that is what a lot of these hedge funds do, is they look for companies that they feel are going through rough times or might go bankrupt, and they short sell the stock. And then in essence, they do eventually push the stock price down and force a lot of these companies into bankruptcy. So
because in essence, what they're doing is they are creating stock sales where there isn't actually a buyer at that point. Right.
And also
they're doing it to artificially inflate a market where there's pressure on a stock to go down.
Well, they're looking to push the rate down. And also, if investors see that a company has a lot of short selling against it, that erodes their confidence, and they may sell off their stock.
Because we know that hedge funds know so much more about stocks than we do.
So anyway, the Wall Street Bets Reddit board notices this and says, hey, wouldn't it be fun if we tried to buy this stock and push the stock price up as far as it could? So,
well, they knew right off the bat that somebody eventually was going to have to buy 130% of the number of shares that are even possible to buy.
Right.
So they knew that sometime within the next 30, 60 days, there's going to be a flood of buyers on the market to buy GameStop stock. Right.
Basically, what you have then is what's called a short squeeze, where you are a group of people are trying to push the stock price up, and they did it very effectively. It was at $4 like a month ago, and it got up to a high of about $360 the other day. And and so the challenge, you know, what happens with a lot of these short squeeze short holders is, you know, as the price goes up, the people they're borrowing the stocks from are usually like, I want my stocks back now so I can sell them and make a profit. So you had these hedge funds that had maybe sold at $4, now having to buy stocks back at, let's say, $200. So they're losing 196 bucks a share, and they're doing it, you know, these aren't small quantities of stocks they're dealing with.
These are millions of shares.
And then the ironic thing is, them buying that quantity of shares just pushes the stock price up even higher, so that the next people holding shorts, they're going to be called in, lose even more money. So I think the GameStop short selling has cost hedge funds at least $13 billion with a B, with people, more shorts still being held out there.
People, this is what we call the redistribution of wealth from the 1% to the 50%, you want to call it?
I mean, we'll talk about it.
I mean, there's a lot of people not involved in the market, not taking advantage of these financial plays because they don't have enough money.
Well, would you even like participate? Some statistics, Brian?
Oh, I didn't know you were coming prepared.
I have a few notes here, but you might be interested to find out that the wealthiest 10% of families own 87% of all stocks and mutual funds.
Hit me again with that.
The wealthiest 10% of families own 87% of all stocks and mutual funds. The bottom 50% of families own 2.2%.
Wow.
Just let that marinate a little bit. So anyway, hedge funds were getting killed. I think there's one hedge fund that received a line of credit. I think it was Melvin Financial.
It was Melvin, yes.
Received a line of credit from Steve Cohen, new owner of the New York Mets. Blew through that. So they are, if the stock price stays up through tomorrow, which it will, they will have to close out their remaining short positions. They'll probably have to declare bankruptcy come Monday. But the funny part was, is Steve Cohen, in getting himself evolved, now these folks on the Reddit board said, all right, well, fuck you, Steve Cohen. Let's see who your financial company has short interest in. And so he had short sold. I mean, GameStop was one. He had also shorted AMC Entertainment. He had shorted BlackBerry. He had shorted Virgin. So they started to.
I once shorted a Virgin. It was one of the most embarrassing experiences of my life. I had a Virgin, and
maybe after dark that would be more appropriate.
Fair enough.
So Reddit and some of these other internet communities start going after this, and so AMC, who we talked about last week, and we had gotten out when it hit $5, you know, because we were like, all right, we bought it at $2. We'll sell it at $5, make a nice little profit. Well, now this starts shooting up into the $15, $20 range. And you see GameStop still continuing to shoot up. You saw Nokia was another one shoot up. I mean, they were basically...
One time I shut up.
Again, after dark, maybe. So what they appeared to do is they had a list of the top 20 companies that were the highest shorted companies on Wall Street and just started trying to pound those stock prices up. Like Tootsie Roll went from $30 to $58 overnight. So something strange happened in the last couple of days, whereas these online brokerages.
Can you give me some examples?
TD Ameritrade, Webull.
Bastards.
Robinhood.
Wait a second. Did you say Robinhood?
I did say Robinhood.
You mean Robinhood, where you can make your money work for you? We offer a variety of assets that you can invest in, from stock to options.
Unfortunately, yes. They initially yesterday restricted the types of purchases that their customers could make. Today, Webull and Robinhood both took the step of blocking their customers from purchasing GameStop, AMC, Nokia, those ones that were being shorted. So it allowed, all you could do was sell it. So people were selling, it was bringing the stock price back down, but they were in essence manipulating the market against retail investors. And now, come to find, Robinhood, which is the company that took the most flack today about cutting off their investors, 40% of their revenues come from a hedge fund called Citron Research, which is another hedge fund that had lost billions of dollars. Brian, I can't even watch it. I had lost billions of dollars because of this GameStop situation. So obviously a lot of people are now feeling that Citron told Robinhood to stop, you know, allowing their customers to buy. And what also is interesting is the rumor on the internet is that Citron re-upped their short sell positions with GameStop prior to Robinhood blocking people being able to buy those stocks.
In a world where Ron believes what he reads on the internet.
So anyway, there's already been a couple of class action suits filed against Robinhood. I think Webull is and TD Ameritrade will be looking at class action suits. The New York Attorney General is looking at Robinhood. And now Congress will be scheduling hearings to discuss the whole situation.
Ron, just to give you an idea of how this past couple, I would say 48 hours, we were able to find a situation here where AOC and Ted Cruz agreed on something this past week.
The same page now.
He tried to have her assassinated just a few weeks ago, allegedly.
I found myself agreeing with Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports. Because he's on the side of the small investor. And here's the thing, and this is why we're talking about this tonight. I mean, we're not just talking about this to be able to play the music.
Stonks.
So it's a case of where, even if you're not involved in the stock market, which obviously a lot of people aren't, we looked at the statistics, like this is another example of the wealthiest people in this country trying to protect that wealth and keep people that don't have wealth from earning more wealth.
And to rig a system They've created a system that works for them. What happened when the derivatives market in 2008 crumbled? When they had made massive trillion-dollar bets on that were based on absolutely nothing. There was no value to what they were spending investor money on, pensioners' monies on. What happened when that happened? All that became worthless, and all these fucking companies got bailed out by the government.
That's right.
If so you when they make up, I'm sorry, I'm ranting. The fucking hedge funds, when the one percenters, when Wall Street, when the institutional investors make terrible fucking choices, remember AIG, fuck them. When they make these terrible decisions, when they gamble with the fucking American economy, what happens? The government shows up and says, we are here to support you. We are here to make sure that no harm ever comes to you, and we will make sure that you stay solvent. Now, what happens when your average retail investor, like Ron, like myself, like our Patreon subscribers, like the people who use the word stonk?
Oh, sorry. I was napping a little bit then.
Stonks.
Yes, you were saying.
So what happens when the retail investor, when actually the people who are who keep this fucking country going, what happens when they start making some money on the stock market? The fucking hedge funds sit there and say, how can we pull the strings? How can we change the rules so that we don't get hurt? Fucking burn them down. Burn the whole fucking institution down.
You also didn't touch on, touched on the financial credit for 2008, financial crisis. They also caused the housing market crash in 2008.
I tied the housing because most of the derivatives at the time were based on bundled mortgage-backed securities that were fucking worthless.
Well, and that's what happened. They created this financial product where they would bundle mortgages and the fund would pay out based on the credit of the people that had these mortgages, and hedge funds made a killing on it. And then what happened is, there was only so many people with good credit buying houses. So what did they do? They started pushing the banks to approve mortgages for values higher than they should have been to people that shouldn't have had it. These subprime mortgages that they then packaged back into these funds, calling them A+ rated, and the whole market drops. And then we're in a recession for 2 years. People lose their homes. People's lives are ruined. People's, retirement funds are cleaned out, all because of what goes on in the market.
But at that time, what did the government do? Did the government step in and say to the people who were living in homes and unable to pay their mortgages and were looking to be foreclosed on? Did the government step in and say, you know what? You were taken advantage of. We're going to make sure that you don't become homeless. We're going to make sure that somehow you land on your feet. No, the government stepped in and said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pump trillions of dollars into the financial markets so this way our Wall Street firms can stay solvent, so that they have money to spend, that they have money to cover their losses. It'll just trickle down to the average American. God, this stuff pisses me off.
And that's the thing. Anybody listening or watching should be pissed off. If you're not, even if you're not interested in the stock market, even if the whole thing bores you, the fact that these hedge funds control the economy so much and control what businesses stay in business and what don't. If you look
and the government, they control our government officials. They're the ones that are donating millions of dollars to re-election campaigns for the people that are in Congress. Do you think these Congress people are going to have their investigations and are actually going to do anything about it? No, because people like Ron, who sat there and said, yes, buy Pacific Drilling, buy AMC at 2.5, sell at 5. Do they care that this man was in a position to try to buy stock this morning and was refused by his brokerage because they sat there and felt that there was too much volatility with this one fucking stock that was out there? Why is my face red?
I don't know. God damn, you're beat it up. That's all I can say. But yeah, companies that have gone bankrupt, public companies that have gone bankrupt, people that have lost jobs. The number one impact to those companies that have forced them into bankruptcy has typically been hedge funds selling them short, reducing confidence in the company, pushing down their value to the point that they either get bought off or have to declare bankruptcy. And what, on a larger scale, what pisses me off the most is that the greatest thing the upper class has ever managed to do for themselves is to convince the middle class and the lower class that they need to turn on each other, that the lower class and the middle class are each other's enemies. You know, we're going to sit here and we're going to argue about immigrants taking our jobs, or that, you know,
they took our jobs.
Someone flipping a burger shouldn't make $15 because I make $16 an hour. You know, no one should get free health care. No one should get free college. Like, we are arguing about this amongst ourselves while the people who have everything continue to manipulate the system.
They're just scooping out trillions of dollars out of the American economy, keeping it for themselves because they've sold us on the idea that the wealthy are better, that the wealthy are I lost my train of thought. I remember. Where was it ever decided that wealthy people are better than poor? That the poor people are you're supposed to look down on the poor because they've done something wrong, while the wealthy people clearly have done something right. And what they've done is they've rigged the system such that whenever there is a dollar being generated, they are scamming 50, 60 cents out of it before 40 of it enters the economy.
And what also the Reddit people did is they also pointed out how inflated and how fictional stock prices are. You know,
of course. We've been in a fucking recession for a year. There's a million people filing for unemployment for the first time every week, and we're sitting there jerking ourselves off. Well, I am, but we're patting ourselves on the back because the market is at an all-time high.
But when GameStop,
80%, what did you say? 80% of all shares are held by the top 10%?
87%.
Those are the people profiting, not people like you and I.
Right. But what was I going to say? You kept interrupting me.
You were going to say that this is probably our best episode that we have done over the past 4 years.
Oh, so my point being is that, again,
stop. Billy just had the comment of the
I was
fucking
going to get to it in a second. I'll
God
get to that
damn,
second.
That's good.
But point being is, even if you're not interested in the stock market, even if you're not interested in getting into the stock market, you know, the stock market impacts our financial well-being so much, and it is being gamed against the rest of us. So we can only hope that there is some sort of change that comes off of this. But yes, we do need to give Billy's comment that I'm off unemployment for just a few weeks and he's already calling for a higher minimum wage. Yes. And easier ways for people to collect unemployment.
Yes. I was about to make a point.
Why should people, again, why should people want for healthcare? Why should people, and that's, you know, what is, I guess, somewhat heartwarming to see, but also depressing, is that you go on this Reddit board for Wall Street Bets and you have people that have turned, you know, a few hundred dollars into hundreds of thousands of dollars or maybe $50,000. And they're using this money to pay off medical debts, to pay off student loans,
mortgages.
One guy, you know, was like, oh my God, I'll be able to buy, you know, Lyme disease medicine for my mom and insulin for my sister.
Because Steve fucking Cohen, and I'm just using him because he's the public face of this.
Right.
The man had $3 billion to spend on a baseball franchise. He had the balls to send out a tweet this earlier today saying, hey, I'm just trying to make a living like everyone else. He's trying to make ends meet. The man is worth $17 billion. He doesn't need to make any more money.
And, you know,
the people who have medical bills that are right, about to go into bankruptcy, they could use $100,000.
And the only way that you can,
I could honestly use a couple $100,000.
The only way you can honestly feel that you are able to get out from under crushing debt is to hit the lottery or to buy a stock that shoots up 800% in 2 weeks, you know, because it's not realistic to be able to work. I mean, fucking minimum wage has been
well. We know it's unrealistic for you to expect to work. We get that, We get the fact that after months of unemployment and what felt like years, eventually, right. You know, you're working for a month and you're already talking about what a scam it is.
But here's the thing. Minimum wage has been $7.25 since 2009.
Speak for yourself. New York City, we're at $15 because we fucking care in New York.
But even look, New York City, you can't fucking live in New York City for $15 an hour.
Rod, at my salary, I still don't know how I can afford to live in this fucking city. I can't afford Manhattan. But I don't want to. Like,
you talk about a $15 minimum wage and people are just like, well, prices are going to have to go up. Well, how about the top 1% not take as much fucking profit off the top?
But that's the thing. The money is out there. They are taking it. They're sitting there being like, well, if the minimum wage goes up there, well, what about the trillions of dollars that the federal government gave to fucking corporations? They gave it to them as tax breaks. They're giving those trillions of dollars. The money is there.
I don't know. All right.
Can I hear Stonks one more time? Just one more, and then we have to move off topic. All right.
Stonks.
Stonks.
So the only thing we had more volatility in this week than the stock market was in the Ron and Brian death pool, as we had a large number of celebrities passing away this week, starting off with baseball legend Hank Aaron. Hammer and Hank, as they call it, passing away on Friday, age of 86. Longtime Atlanta Brave, considered one of the greatest all-time players. Home run leader. Some people still consider him the greatest.
755 home runs over a course of 32 seasons, which a lot of people thought was never going to be broken. He held that record from 1973 until San Francisco Giant outfielder Bobby Bonds broke the record at 756 home runs. Unfortunately, you got to put an asterisk next to Bonds' home run total, as it was determined during the latter couple years of his season that he was absolutely, I'm not even going to use the word alleged, he was absolutely using steroids, because as the San Francisco's Giant equipment manager stated, Barry Bonds's baseball cap size went up three sizes.
And he turned his head
while he was in his 40s. I mean, if there was a Simpsons joke about tonic water, about special tonic water, now's the time to make it. But there is no reason why in your 40s your head starts to grow.
Anyway, I think we were on the topic of celebrity obituaries.
Larry King, legendary talk show host, dies at the age of 87. He was known for his countless interviews, sartorial sensibilities, recently tested positive for COVID, but apparently that didn't kill him. He retired in 2010 after taping more than 6,000 episodes of his show. With profound sadness, Aura Medea, who I don't know if that's his wife or his former boss, announced the death of host and friend Larry King, passed away at the age of 87, or as I like to say, 13 points in the Ron and Brian death pool.
I nailed it. I carried over Larry King from the previous death pool.
Congratulations, Ron. Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
How does it feel to have 13 points in the Ron and Brian death pool?
Well, I believe I have more than that because I had Phil Spector the other day, too. So I believe
Ron, I don't have any points. My real question is, how does it feel to have any points?
It feels good. And I think a number of people watching the show can attest to that, because I think a number of listeners hit on Tommy Lasorda. A couple of people hit on Cloris Leachman, who
this one hurts.
Passed away this week. Legendary Oscar-winning actress and comedian, crushed it on which roast was she on?
She was on the roast of zucchini.
I want to say it was the Rob Lowe roast, but it may have been
they got terrible towards the end. No offense.
But anyway, passing away at the age of 94, dying of natural causes. She had been inducted into the Television Academy Hall of Fame in 2011, had the most Emmy nominations of any woman alive or dead at 22, won 8 Primetime Emmy Awards, and later received accolades for roles on Malcolm in the Middle, Raising Hope. She was also in The Last Picture Show, Young Frankenstein. I mean, come on, Frau Blücher. High Anxiety, History of the World Part 1, just classic.
But that wasn't the most shocking celebrity death. The title for that, we have to go all the way to South Korea, where Song Yoo-jung passed away at the age of 26. Actress and model made her acting debut in the MBS series Golden Rainbow in 2013. She gained the viewers' attention for her performance in the same cable channel series Make-A-Wish. She also appeared in the television series School 2017. She was a model for Estee Lauder Cosmetics, The Body Shop, and also a spokesperson for Baskin-Robbins Ice Cream.
All right, Brian, I know you you always keep your finger on the pulse of young Asian women, so thank you for bringing that to our attention. Also, passing away earlier this month, character actor Gregory Sierra, passing away at the age of 83. He had been on Barney Miller, Sanford and Son, just a classic look, classic character. If you saw him, you're like, oh, yeah, that guy.
That guy. Yes, he is that guy.
Hill Street Blues, Miami Vice, Murder, She Wrote. Just a lot of parts that he was in.
Wasn't he also on NBC's channel Golden Rainbow?
I don't know that he was.
I think he was in season 3, if I'm not correct. He played Officer Pacheco.
Very possibly. And then also, right before we came on the air tonight, receiving the word that Cicely Tyson passing away at the age of 96. Model, won 2 Emmys for her role in the 1974 TV film, The Autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman. Just a storied career in film, television, I believe a little bit of theater. A big loss in the acting community. Big loss overall this week in the acting community.
A lot of people dying. Not only that, but also Robin Hood and my stock portfolio.
Yes, that was rough. We will be hoping for a better opening tomorrow to cut our losses.
Yes.
Say the least. What else did we have this week, Brian? Brian, real what? Quick before we get on out of here, what are you watching?
Ooh, I didn't watch anything this week.
You watched nothing. What, you just sat and abused yourself with your flashlight? You had to watch it.
I went out for dinner a few times.
Okay.
I watched the football games. I mean, I can say that. I watched both of the football games, but I did not watch anything on Netflix. I did not watch. I watched a couple episodes of The Sopranos.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, I there's nothing that I can sit here and talk about that I watched that is reportable. What are you watching, Ron?
I watched episode 3 of WandaVision. Still don't know what the heck's going on there, but I understand episode 4 really kind of opens up what the story is. So I'm hoping to have a little bit.
Now, is that the show with Elizabeth Olsen?
It is.
Is she also the one opening up in episode 4?
I'm not quite sure. But I did not realize Elizabeth Olsen from WandaVision is the older sister of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Also, the daughter from Superman, Jimmy Olsen.
I'm not sure if that's factual or not. Anyway, I also watched the movie on demand, Promising Young Woman.
Starring Korean actress Sung Moo, I don't remember her name. God damn it.
Actually starring K Carey Mulligan, and comedian Bo Burnham in a rare acting role. He
was. What was the name of that movie again?
It's called Promising Young Woman. It's a story of a woman who is trying to avenge her best friend from college, who was a victim of rape and later ended up committing suicide.
Well, that sounds really upbeat.
It's I would call it a kind of a dark comedy, if you will. With a
you say the word comedy?
It's definitely a dark. I mean, there's some funny parts to it. But it's overall like a very dark dark theme, obviously.
Okay.
And it seems like it's going to get uplifting at times, and then it just gets real dark at the end. A lot different than I expected. A very well done. You know, it was very interesting. My wife was very impacted by it because
my wife. Sorry.
Very, very impacted by it because, you know, she said it really drove home some of the fear women have of, you know, sexual assault throughout their lives, whether it's from a friend, from a date, from a college party or what have you. So she felt it was very well done, very impactful. Overall, I would give it a thumbs up.
I think I would like to watch this.
I would say go for it.
Do you think I would like it?
I think you would like it, yes. I think you would. I mean, who's to say?
You know me, I like my dark comedies. In fact, sometimes I like the dark without the comedy.
Understood. Just a couple of quick shout outs in the comments here. I know Janelle has asked me to get my shit right. That would require more effort than I'm willing to put in. I'm sure I've mispronounced some things. And
yeah, I was like, what's that a reference to?
Never good.
Because if there's two people on this show, one of them needs to get their shit right. It is me, not you.
And then shout out to Brian, apparently watching from his bed in Sloan Kettering tonight. So glad we cheered you up. Hope you feel better.
Hope you feel better. Hope you feel better, bud.
Also, I would like to thank all of you who did not switch over to go see AOC when she went on Twitch at 8:30 to talk about the whole Wall Street thing. Also, glad you stuck with us to get the real truth of what happened on Wall Street today.
Okay.
Anything else this week before we start to prepare for the Pajama Jammy Jam?
Sure.
Ron and Brian After Dark. Yes.
Ron, what did you eat tonight?
Tonight, I made a little, I took some pork loin. I sliced it up like pork chops. I cooked it up and then I made a little vegetable medley. I like to make with some, red onion, carrot and asparagus.
Now, how did you cook the pork?
You know, I do it very simply, a little salt, pepper, garlic powder, olive oil, you know, just fry it in a pan.
How did you cook those vegetables?
Again, a little olive oil, salt, pepper, garlic powder. Those are my three go-to: salt, pepper, garlic powder. If you've got those, you've got a good meal coming your way.
I also like to toss in a little onion powder. It's kind of my jam. You like
to toss a little salad every now and then too.
Not opposed to it. Listen, this is 2021. You know, oral sex is overrated. It's all about ass eating. Ron, I have a question for you.
Yes. What's this question?
How are you feeling?
I'm trying to remain hopeful through some stressful times. Still can't get a appointment for the vaccine. Still feeling a little cooped up from being winter. But I've got you, my friend, and I've got this podcast. And that's always a nice relief for a few hours on a Thursday night.
Couldn't have said it any better. Couldn't have said it any better.
All right. Well, we've got the scroll going. Go to RonandBrianPodcast.com. We've got the websites there. We've got the social media. You can click to become a patron to join us on After Dark. Get a bunch of great swag. The web store is there. Our app is available in the Google Play Store. It's not up on for Apple folks yet, but if you are...
Fuck Apple. Fuck Apple. My beef of the week is back. Full circle. Fuck Apple. Why is our app not available on my iPhone.
Much like shipping an iPad, it takes a little bit longer to get approval to get on the App Store. So we are already in the Google Play Store. So if you're on a Samsung or something else that uses Google Play, you can go to the Google Play Store, search for the Ron and Brian podcast. You will find our app there. So if you want to listen, you can do it directly there. You can watch our YouTube videos there. You can purchase merchandise from our store right there. You can email us from there. It is on your phone, your one-stop shop for all things Ron and Brian. And we will let you know when it's available for your Apple devices.
I'd love to chat longer, but I have to go put a pair of pajamas on right now.
It's about that time. So we will catch our Patreon subscribers in about 20 minutes. We will catch the rest of you next week. Brian, anything else for this week?
I love you. And I love you.
No, oh, there's a lot of love going around. Thank you for joining us. Rate, subscribe, review, and we will catch you next week.